It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for a study in God's Word. Well, today I'd like for us to look back at the subject of the purpose of the local church. First, let's review some of the things we've covered in these past few lessons over the past few weeks as we've spent time together. First, God's church is visible, and this is seen in the book of Acts, the New Testament church at Jerusalem. In other words, it's not an invisible thing, it's something visible. And that thing, of course, is made up of people. People are the church. And we see, in particular, that the New Testament local church started at Jerusalem. Well, I believe that the Lord was setting up His church before He left here. But in essence, it was set apart, or it was given the go-ahead on the day of Pentecost to carry out what God had planned for it and what Jesus came to the earth to do. And we know that He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And we know that as He came, there was something involved here that He would start as He walked this earth before He went back to heaven. He was starting His local church. Well, then we see in the early church that people were together. They were steadfast, and in other words, they were studying the Word, the Apostles' doctrine. This is the teachings of God. Well, they had prayer together and so forth. And we too are to be as the early church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Well, in other words, we are to stay busy. We are to do the things that God has given us to do as His church. We also looked at the word pragmatism. This means being concerned with results rather than principles. The philosophy of pragmatism, I believe, could be closely related to situation ethics. In other words, the end justifies the means. This philosophy is not scriptural. It's totally wrong. Well, we've also looked at putting things in order in our lives. First, we saw how that we are to put God first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God." Well, then we saw that the home would be second. We saw that in the book of Genesis where God created the man, He created the woman, and He told them to be fruitful and multiply. And of course, they had children. God first, the home second. And as we think of this, we should never place the home or local church above God. You see, the local church would be third. God first, then the home, then the church. The home and the church, they work together. God works in both. But we see the church was instituted as we moved into the New Testament, as Christ was the foundation. He is the foundation of the local church. So therefore, the church should be third. We should never place the church above God or the home, but God first and the other. You know, when we think of this, if we put God first, the other two will be in the proper order. Put God first in your life, and He will guide and direct you. Well, let's look at the purpose of the local church today. Why do I come to church? What should I expect the local church to do for me? Should the regular services of the church be primarily for reaching the lost or for reaching the saved? Let's compare the two aspects right now, the local church and the lost first. Well, the regular services of a local church should have a ministry primarily for saints. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Well, then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, it says this, "Whom we preach," speaking of Christ, of course, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Again, the key word is primarily. We are certainly glad if unsaved people can come into a local church and find it a place that informs them of their greatest need, which is salvation from sin. But the primary purpose of the local assembly is to proclaim the whole counsel of God so that believers are well equipped to go forth and do the work of the ministry. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The local church is to bring the gospel to the unsaved. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Note this, God does not say, go into all the world and invite everyone to come to church. We are not to bring them to the gospel, but we are to bring the gospel to them. All believers are to be gospel preachers, not just the pastor or on Sunday morning, or the Sunday school teacher and the pastor on Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. Our gospel emphasis should be every day of the week as we go into the world seeking the lost to win. And the hours that we spend with God's people should be rich times of being built up in the Word of God so that we can be more effective witnesses for Christ at work, at home, or wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Well, I'm not saying that the gospel should not be presented in a local church. I'm not saying people cannot get saved in the local church, but the local church is to teach and equip the people of God to do God's work. Well, I also see that the pastor should preach the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, it says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And then Matthew 28:20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Well, once again, this is Christ speaking. Teaching them teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It's impossible to preach through the Bible systematically and not touch upon the gospel repeatedly. There is a scarlet cord that runs throughout the scriptures, but there are also rich gems of truth that believers need to hear and understand. John 3:16 is one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible, but a steady diet of John 3:16 type of messages is not what a hungry believer needs. If we aim the sword only at the unsaved, then we are going to fail to meet the spiritual needs of God's flock. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17 says this, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. We see that the local church is to reach the lost, but the prime way to do that is to go out from the local church or our local gathering place that we gather together for edifying. Notice this, the building of the saint. The local church is primarily a soul-building station. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Well, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 goes on to say, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In other words, unto all them who are saved. You know, I rejoice that every soul that is saved through the preaching ministry of a local church and every other New Testament local church that does this is certainly in the will of God. And I certainly do not want to minimize the importance of making the most of every opportunity to win a soul for Christ. But the primary purpose of the local assembly is to build up the believers in the most holy faith and to equip them for the work of the ministry. Once again, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Well, the local church is here primarily to get people taught. In other words, teaching them. Matthew 18:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Believers are to be taught the Word of God in the local assembly. If God's Word is properly taught, the unsaved who are in attendance will certainly hear the gospel, and the believers who need to be taught will not be neglected. The local church is to preach the Word, and this would include the gospel, and would not neglect all Scripture. Once again, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Well, that's what we do. That's what is to be done in the local churches, is to preach the Word. If a pastor is faithful in preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, book by book, he is going to be constantly pointing his listeners to Christ and to his so great salvation. And at the same time, he will be feeding the saints the kind of spiritual food that will nurture them and strengthen them to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The local church is here for indoctrination. In other words, to teach thoroughly. Now, if you have your Bible, and I trust you have a Bible handy, I would ask you that each time we gather together to study God's Word, that you would have your Bible. Turn with me in John chapter 21 and let's read a couple of verses. In fact, three verses. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. It says, "So when they had dined, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas." Now, we've read this and it says, "Lovest thou me?" And he goes on to say, and he asked him three times, and the third time Peter was grieved. He said, "Lovest thou me?" For the third time, Jesus asked Peter this, and he said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Well, God loves you today, and he wants you to be fed if you are a child of God, if you know Jesus the Savior. He wants you to be saved if you've never trusted him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word "whosoever" means you today. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.